The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Several verses I want to read to you today, and you could title this message several things, really. I've called it Time for a Miracle. Amen. How many would say it's time for a miracle? We believe in God for not just personal things, but we believe in God for miracles in the city of Tampa. We believe in God for miracles in the state of Florida. We believe in God for miracles in America. Can you say amen? If you go with me, I want to read from Habakkuk chapter 2, and I want to read verses 2 and 3. Habakkuk, just back up from Haggai, you'll get there. Another guy you need to know, otherwise you'll be embarrassed. You get to heaven, you don't know, never read his book. Verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it surely come. It will not tarry. Now, I want to say this. I've been doing this a long time, been in the ministry over 40 years. And right now, which is craziest thing, that I could even say this, that some of the things that I've been believing God for 40 years are happening now. Go figure. Now, for the younger people here today, you say, Pastor, that's just great. I mean, you mean I have to wait for, I got to wait 40 years? No, I never said that. Because I'm talking about some big things that I've been believing God for. We have seen many things down through the years. And they almost like a signpost on the road that you saw God do a miracle there, and you saw him do a miracle over there, you saw him do a miracle over there. You can tell the story, tell it to your children, tell it to your grandchildren, tell your friends. It's important that you remember these things, and it's important that you remember the little things en route to the bigger things. Don't ever forget the little things that God's doing. Now go to the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter 1. I will read from verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. Now, why did I bring that up? Because this was a desire of their heart. However, they were old, they were past the years of childbirth. And so there's some things that you have a desire of your heart to see come to pass. And then you say, but alas, I passed that age of seeing that happen now. But what I'm about to read to you proves to you that no one has passed anything. If you will believe. And I understand it's hot on the field. There's some people probably went to the restroom or whatever they're doing. But I watched you during the worship, and God wants to meet you, and you've already gone and you're out there by the food trucks. Let me tell you, you can't get anything from a food truck except a taco. I'm not up here for my health. I'm here so that you can grab these things. I don't know what to do over the years, pastoring here since 96. I've seen people come through the church. Some stayed 4 or 5 years. I could not help them. I could not help them at all. Couldn't help them. Because they had other agendas. May you grab hold of this. May you grab hold of this today. I want you to walk in what I'm talking about here. It's very important. You can go to the toilet another time. So they had no child. Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the honor of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, which is like worship, to worship before God. The whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of the incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That means in the place of worship is where God will speak to you. If you're needing direction, then worship. When you get to your house, switch off the television, put worship on, lift your hands and worship him. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Why? Because it's holy. And the angel of the Lord said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for that prayer is heard." Now, how long had he been praying that prayer? How long? There are people that have given up on their prayer because they say, "I've been praying so long." Come on, you can't be serious. That God is going to come through now? Now? Why didn't he come through when I could have born a child? Why didn't he come through when my husband was a lot younger? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. But I believe this is there as an example to us that when everything looks impossible, that's where the miracle comes. Like, how can God give you a miracle where you move and advance in the time when everybody's going backwards, in a time of Rona? Come on, it's impossible, they say, but nothing is impossible with God. You have to flick that switch on the inside of you. So Elizabeth will bear you a son, you'll call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, in other words, the Nazarite vow. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, which is the Bible proved that out. When Mary went to go meet Elizabeth, Elizabeth was pregnant with John, and the baby heard the greeting from Mary, and John leapt for joy in the womb. He was full of the Holy Ghost and leapt for joy in the womb. That's why we are totally against abortion. Are you with me? There are many people that were supposed to be on the earth. Now, I'm not here to condemn anybody. If you've been through that, the Lord forgives. I'm just saying, we talk about now. Somebody said, "Where's that child?" That child's with the Lord, and you'll see them when you get there. Are you with me? But there are many people that were supposed to be on the earth today, but their voices were snuffed out by the enemy, who hates the very ground that you walk on. And then it goes on to talk about, and of course Zechariah said, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." And the angel said, "Well, I'm Gabriel." I'm Gabriel. You want to argue with me? My name's Gabriel, you know? "That stand in the presence of God, I'm sent to speak unto you and show you these glad tidings." Now, because you won't believe, you will be dumb. You will be dumb. You won't be able to speak until the child comes. And of course, he was struck dumb, which I wish would happen to some people today, because they talk nonsense the whole time. En route to their blessing, they talk rubbish. Hello. If you go to verse 57, "Now Elizabeth full time came, and she should be delivered. She brought forth a son. Her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. They rejoiced with her. It came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah, and they called him Zacharias, and the name after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, no, so, but he shall be called John. And of course, if you go down to verse 61, Zechariah's mouth was opened immediately, his tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God. So, you know, it's hard if you've been shut up for 9 months, you know. Can't speak. You learn sign language. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand. When God speaks to you, many times, there's a now word for now. But when God speaks, it's always your future in mind. I've called you. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to bring you out. So everybody says, oh, great. He's called me. He's going to raise me up, bring me out. So therefore, I should see all this, what I'm feeling in my spirit. No, it's for an appointed time. Write it down. Be faithful. Be patient. And keep walking in the direction that you're supposed to go. And don't give up. And don't faint. And don't talk rubbish. Because we don't want you struck dumb until it comes to pass. Because some of you will be struck dumb for 20 years. I just saw a wife go, he's been dumb for you. No. I'm just teasing. Say this after me. When God speaks to me, it's about my future, and he has my future in mind. And he gives it to me, so I have something to aim for. If you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it. If you're not believing God, if you're on this field today, you're watching by television, and you're not believing for anything, you're going to get exactly what you're believing for. A week from now, you should be happy. You should say, I believe for nothing, and the Lord has blessed me. I got nothing, and I'm so happy I have nothing. Because you're not believing. You're not trusting Him for anything. That's why I stand here every Sunday to give you a vision for this next week. Monday's going to be a day of victory. Tuesday will be a day of increase. Wednesday's going to be a day of multiplication. How many of you heard me say that? Why? So you get something to aim for. Because other people have told you Tuesday's going to be a bad day. Wednesday. And then you end up believing their lies. I want every one of you to wake up every day with an expectation of God's goodness and grace over your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Regardless of what's coming your way. Regardless. Regardless. Remember, everything God does is tailor-made. In other words, everybody's different here. Different tribes, different tongues, different nationalities, and different calls, different assignments. What's for you is not for the person next to you. So God, designer, makes his purpose and plan for your life to come to pass, and it might be a different route, or we say a different route. A different route. The journey that you take is a different journey from the journey that somebody else will take. Look at the Bible. Down through the centuries, God spoke to people and told them things to come. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. God said, build an ark. How long did it take him to build an ark? 120 years. I cannot wait to meet Noah. He's one of the great faith preachers. I don't know if I could hang on to 120 years to see a thing come to pass. But they lived longer in those days. Amen. Everybody say 120 years. So I'm not talking about 120 years from now, because the likelihood of you being here 120 years is remote. How many are happy that you're going to live your life and then you're going on to be with the Lord? Can you say amen? Abram was also in the same position as Zechariah, 99 years old, and Sarah or Sariah. But God says, you're gonna have a child. He said, how? How in the world? Yeah, come on. And do you know that he waited 25 years? Hello? Everybody say 25 years. He waited 25 years for Isaac. 25. Some people are bored. I've been waiting 3 years. I tell you, I just don't know when this is going to come to pass. Don't give up. Stand on the word and speak the word. Speak the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Speak his word to you. Moses was chosen to lead God's people out of bondage. And you know the story. He killed an Egyptian, had to flee the land, was on the backside of a desert looking after sheep. 40 years is Moses. He's probably walking, you know, I'm supposed to be getting God's people delivered, but I'm afraid, but a burning bush. And God spoke to him, take off your shoes from off your feet. The place where you're standing is holy ground. You go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Tell him, I am has sent you. 40 years later, he went and God delivered the people of God by his hands. I'm saying this because there could be people here or people watching today that you were supposed to do something 20 years ago, but you did something maybe you shouldn't have done and you've been sidetracked. I've got news for you. It's not finished. God will come again and you'll have a burning bush experience. Get here tonight. I will talk about it. You'll have a burning bush experience and God will reignite you and you will accomplish heaven's purpose and plan for your life. Can you say amen? That's why I'm telling you, don't write anybody off. Don't write anyone off. Can you say amen? Say this off me. I'm not going to write anybody off. And I'm not writing myself off. Because some of you have written yourself off. You're sitting saying, oh, that's for them. That's not for me. I'm done. You're not done. I said you're not done. David, anointed to be king, looking after some sheep, worshiping. Lion comes along, he grabs a lion with his bare hands, rips it. Bear comes along, grabs the bear with his bare hands, rips it. Go feed your brothers. Okay, he gets down there and there's this giant standing there every day defying the armies of God. And he just looks at it and goes, who's that? Who is that? Is anybody going to do anything about him? The whole of the army of the children of Israel are afraid. Even his brothers said, what are you doing? We know the naughtiness of your heart. Have you left a sheep to come down here? You're just here to look for trouble. Jealousy, you know. David said, no. Is there not a cause? And of course, the giant was very offended because here comes young David. Teenager, whatever he was. He wasn't a kid, but a teenager come. Ruddy complexion, a youth. He comes running and he's got a slingshot and he's running towards the giant. And the giant says, am I a dog? You see, when you come with God's assignment, the world will be offended. Yeah. He said, am I a dog? You come to me with sticks and stones. didn't stop David. He's got the sling. He's got the stone and the sling. He's doing this and he's running towards the giant. He said, listen, let me tell you. Today, I'm going to feed your body. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. You uncircumcised Philistine. Somebody said, how did he know that? He didn't check, but he knew they were not in covenant with God. Can you say amen? You know, you don't need to wonder if somebody's in covenant with God or not by checking anything other than the words coming out of their mouth. Because he was defying the armies of the living God. He said, today, I'm gonna separate your head from your shoulders. Today, I'm gonna chop your head off. Today, I'm gonna feed your body to the birds of the air, you uncircumcised Philistine that defy the armies of God. These people on this field and watching by television, God hasn't called you. I mean, you might take out, God ain't called you to take out a squirrel. Oh, Pastor, I took out a squirrel. The Lord used me, I took out a rat. God's called you to take out the lion and the bear, and he's called people on this field to take out a giant. And I don't know who those giants are, that's not my problem. I'm assigned my own fair share of giants. Are you listening to me? And you will meet giants on the way. But when you know the Lord is with you and you know God is on your side, and then you'll not be afraid. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I could just see Goliath there with his big bucket head. As a giant would speak, and no control of his voice or vocal cords. David wasn't intimidated. The whole army of Israel was shaking in their boots. The whole army of Israel. But he was born for that moment. He was born to get a miracle. You were born for this hour. You were born for this moment. You were born to bring about miracles. There's people on this field who are watching by way of television. This very week, you will cause miracles to come to pass everywhere you go, in your workplace, in your home, in the prison, in a hospital, in a retirement home. Can you say amen? Amen. And in your house. The three Hebrew children that would not bow to worship the image, and because they didn't bow, they didn't burn. And the fourth man joined them in the middle of the fire. Hallelujah. And they had a Jericho march. A Jericho march up and down in the fire. Makaporadele, brukarashtikepaya. Not one hair of their head was singed. Not even smoke was on them. And Jesus came and walked up and down with them in the middle of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, we put in three. We put in three. But there's four. You know what that means? That means God will be with you in trouble. He's with you in time of trouble. Somebody said, but it's bad. Yes, a fiery furnace heated seven times hotter that's killed the people that brought you there is bad. But he's with you. He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. I'm with you in the time of trouble. Man, I tell you, I could run around this field right now, which I'm not going to do that because I got to finish this message, but I feel it so strong here. And I'm not asking for a runner. I'm not asking for a surrogate runner here today, but I don't want anybody. Normally when I do that, somebody who never runs, and I don't want you to do that. You injure yourself. I could see they're a non-runner. I want you tearing some muscles or something. Daniel. The same thing with him. At the time, you're not even allowed to pray. He opens the window and he bows and he prays towards Jerusalem. Let me tell you. What's going to happen to him? He's going to get reported. There was a Karen watching. And they reported him. There was a Karen. A Karen watched. And what was his fate? To be thrown in the lion's den. Didn't bug him, didn't bother him. But when he got in the lion's den, those lions came up to him, they smelt him, but he didn't smell maybe good. I'm not saying he smelled bad, but it was not enticing to them. They were hungry because they were kept that way. So when you threw somebody into a lion pit, they were destroyed immediately. And they got locked jaw. God will cause your enemy's mouths to be shut. God will cause your enemy's mouths to be shut and to be silenced. So much so, later when the king came the next day, he said, that's impossible. Bring everybody here. Listen, no one touched Daniel. Elevate him in the kingdom. If anybody says anything against Daniel or his God, he's going to get my wrath. His house will be cut off and they'll be made a dunghill. You know what a dunghill is? A sewer, a latrine. I can't tell you which state, but a friend of mine that God uses prophetically is a senior man. A state that's on total lockdown where people get arrested, not allowed to have church service or whatever. He's gone in with a tent, and the governor of the state, who's a total communist, wrote him a letter and said, whatever you need, I'll help you with. So when I asked him, I said, how? He said, the Lord gave me a word for the person. And I wrote them a letter. God gave me a word of knowledge for them. And they wrote me back, said, whatever you need. Come on. You see, a miracle. Somebody's going to get a miracle for somebody else. Somebody's going to have a breakthrough. Your breakthrough will not just be for you alone. Your breakthrough is going to be for other people to come behind you and have a breakthrough. Your breakthrough is for Costa Rica. Your breakthrough is for Puerto Rico. Your breakthrough is for whatever city, whatever realm, whatever town, whatever village you find yourself. Your breakthrough is for India. Your breakthrough is for Africa. Your breakthrough is for your... Come on! Hey! Now, here's a question that people ask. What if what God has promised me has not happened yet? And that's the word, yet. What if it hasn't happened yet? I don't want anybody here walk around with a long face. I don't want anybody walking around with your head held low. People say, how you doing? Well, I tell you, I don't understand it. The Lord promised me something, 25 years ago. I have the prophetic word written down. I can show you, it's folded over, it's in my Bible. The Lord told me that he would do this and that, and it's not come to pass yet, and I just don't understand. Has God forgotten me? And I'm here to tell you, absolutely not. It is for an appointed time. You say, if it's for an appointed time, then what miracles am I going to see now? The miracles for this appointed time. No, you didn't get that. No, you didn't get that. If it's for an appointed time, then what miracles am I going to see now? You're going to see the miracles that's for this appointed time. Don't miss the miracles en route to the appointed time for that big thing that you believe in God for. You know, David could have said, I took the line, now I'm champion. And the Lord said, no, son, you're going to have to take out a bear. And then I'm just preparing you, getting ready to take out the giant. Because if you ran from the lion and the bear, you'd run from the giant. Is this helping anybody here? Remember, I can't hear you. I don't want you to lose your voice. But it's hard on the field. This is not a great auditorium. It's a field. It's hard to hear people responding.
Hallelujah!
I know you're out there. The book of Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's this cloud? These are the people that have gone on before us that are in heaven watching over the banister that are wanting to tell you, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Confront the fear. Confront the fear. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, which it's hard to take out a giant when you're not doing what God calls you to do. It's hard to be burdened and carrying a load of a sin or something that you don't want to give up, but you know that God has got something appointed for you. If you drop that thing, God will give you what he's promised. Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say, looking unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? That means he started, he's going to finish it. He started everything about your life, and he's going to complete everything about your life. He who began a good work in you is able to complete it. Say that after me. He who began a good work in me is able to complete it. Now, I want to give you a couple of things. You can write this down. Things that you need to do when you are between the promise and the manifestation of it. So write this down. You've got your cell phone, just take some notes, and this will help you because it's helped me. Number one, numero uno, shut your mouth. Zip it. If what's going to come out of your mouth is not in line with the vision, with the dream, with what God has spoken to your life, shut it. I'm talking about when you know the will of God. People, when you know the will of God, the Bible tells you, don't confer anymore with flesh and blood. Read it in the book of Galatians. Paul said, once he found the will of God, he didn't go run around, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? You run around, everybody will think something else. I don't think you should do that. You're going to fail. I had an uncle once who tried that, and he failed. My Aunt Minnie, she loved God. She tried that. She failed. If God's speaking to people on the field or people watching to do a stand, and you go tell people, oh, I just wouldn't do it. The area you want to do it is a bad area. If God speaks to you, then you do what he tells you to do. I don't care if it's the middle of hell. Number one, keep your mouth shut. Number two, keep your eyes on Jesus. Somebody said, yeah, but Pastor, I can't really see him. Where is he? His word. Keep his word before you. Keep it before you in the morning. Keep it before you in the noontime. Keep it before you in the evening. And write the vision, write what he told you, and keep it in front of you and the husband and wife, or if you're single, you just have to agree with yourself. Which sometimes hard because people are different people. Singles fight with themselves. I'm going to really... No, you're not. Yeah, I am. No, you won't. No, you're not going to. I'm going to. I'm going to have a big... No, you aren't. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Say, I must keep my mouth shut. And I must keep my eyes on Jesus. And then the third thing, you must stand on what he's promised you. Stick to it. Like, I know one thing. When I had the open vision back 180 days ago, the Lord said, the end is not yet. He said, I'm purifying my people, getting them ready. Coming back for glorious church. And I saw the hand clear the earth. And he said, I will do this, and I care not who's in the White House, who is in this age, or that. That's the word of the Lord. That's what I'm standing on. I don't care what they say. I don't care what scientists say. You don't care what doctors say. I don't really care what the government says. I know what the word of the Lord says. So stand on the word of the Lord. How many of you ever had God speak to you about something? Stand on the word of the Lord. It will come to pass. How many needed to hear this today? Then, number four, walk in faith, exercising patience. Because the Bible says through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. Walk in faith. What does that mean? That means you're walking, you're trusting Him. I trust you. That's what I pray. My wife and I, we pray this every day. I pray, Lord, I trust you with my life. When I lie on my bed, I'll say, Father, I trust you with my life. Even now, there's some things I don't understand. I don't have answers for everything. I know what He told me, but I don't have everybody. I don't have an answer for everybody. I could tell you how you can get an answer. I could tell you answers from the Word, but I don't have specific answers for everybody because I'm not walking in your shoes. I'm not living where you live. I'm not facing the circumstances that you are. They're all different. You have to get the mind of God and get God to speak to you concerning these things. But one thing I do is to say, I trust you with my life. I trust you. I trust you with my life. My life is in your hands. Number one, shut your mouth. Number two, keep your eyes on Jesus. Number three, stand on what God's promised. Number four, walk in faith and patience. Who needs more patience? It is a fruit of the Spirit that you have to cultivate. It's impossible for you to tell me today, I have no patience, that's just the way I am, and everybody knows I'm very impatient. Well, you're making excuses for yourself. There are nine fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. Nine fruit of the Spirit. And one of them is patience. If you don't have it, then you have to pray and ask God. Give me patience. Give it to me now. Because here's what will happen. Impatience will cause you to jump the gun. Impatience will cause you to get out ahead of God. Impatience will cause you to do something and you say, Lord, you told me I would do this. He said, yeah, but it's for a point in time. You've jumped out prematurely. You were supposed to do this and this and this before you did that. But you're impatient. You wanted that before you did this. Do what I tell you to do first, and then everything will unfold. Is this helping you? How many of you have jumped the gun? You know what that means? If you run races in athletics, you're in the starter position, you know, they got the gun and they haven't fired it yet, and you see the person come out of the starting block and they have to pull everybody back. Somebody said, what do I do if I jump the gun? Go back to where you were when you started. Don't give up. Don't say, oh, that's it. I'm leaving the field. I'm gonna leave the field. I jumped the gun. I'm not worthy to even run this race. You know, I'm leaving the field. No, get back in the start position and wait for the sound. Hallelujah. Is this helping you here today? Who needed to hear this? So, number five, it's for an appointed time. God will give you divine strategies for every day and every week and every month. And days become weeks, weeks become months, months become years. But you are moving, you are progressing. Every day you are moving in the direction. You're not veering to the left, you're not veering to the right, you're moving in the direction. Just every day being faithful, being patient, keeping your mouth shut on negativity. Are you with me? Keeping your eyes on Jesus, standing on the Word of God, what He's promised, walking in faith, patience, then it comes to you. It comes to you. Because if God gave you everything He wanted to bring you right now, you couldn't handle it. And why would He do that? What father would overload his children with something that they couldn't handle? Because you need the grace to even handle that. So God knows that. God knows that. Somebody said, I'm one of the 300 multimillionaires, Pastor. God's raising me up to be one of the 300 multimillionaires. I don't know who they are. Maybe they're here today. No. But right now, I have nothing. One thing I've realized, when it's the appointed time, it'll come to pass. It's like a lady that's pregnant with a baby. When you're 7 months pregnant, of course you don't want the baby because it's going to be premature. But it's difficult. At 8 months, it's really difficult. By that time, the husband is really tired of running for ice cream at 11 o'clock at night. Because of craving. Right at the due date, if you ask the pregnant lady, she goes, this baby has to come now. But that baby cannot come until that, till the water breaks. There's a process. I use this analogy several times. If people want to have children, the Lord allows that 9 month period so that you can make preparation, get the room ready. Today they find out what the gender is going to be, so they know it's going to be blue or pink. Are you with me? You don't do your son's room out in pink. Back in our days, when Kirsten was born, we didn't know. I didn't know. I knew when she popped out, I could see, oh! I was standing right there, baby, come out. Ah, it's a girl! How do you know? Evident. Today, people are confused. Today could be anything of 57 different kinds. There's only two genders, ladies and gentlemen. One with spout, one without. That's it. That's it. Amen. I look at the twins, little boy, little girl, total opposite. Little girl is all girl. Little boy, all boy. Amen. That doesn't mean to say she's not tough. She's the toughest one of all of them. She runs into a wall and just looks at the wall. She fall down and bash her head and just get straight up, touch her head like where she heard it and carry on going. What a tough cookie. I've never seen a little girl that tough. Now, to the singles here, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. How many have had children here? Wouldn't it be terrible? Here you are, you get married, you're 3 months into your marriage. Husband come home from work. You eat a meal. Husband and wife get together, you know, as they should. Amen. You know, I won't go into details, but they should get together. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And you wake up in the morning, and there are two babies in the bed. You go, what? Oh, those are the babies. They were born. You had babies. You had two children. You had twins. You know, I wasn't even ready for it. I'm not even ready for it. That's the same way. God's not going to just come and dump it in your hand, because if it dumps into your hand, you're not going to be ready for it, and you won't even know how to handle it. It's that 9 months getting things ready, buying the little baby clothes and all that kind of stuff. So when the baby comes, you're ready. Even then, you're still not ready for it. You know what I mean? Baby cries. It's got to be fed every couple of hours. You know, changing diapers, breaking, sitting there, you're off tired, you're doing this. You know, get rid of that wind, you know. Putting the food in the front end and coming out the back end, you know. I mean, it's crazy. And then sometimes just throw it all up on you. When Kirsten was born, my wife was so tired, she'd hand me the baby. I'm sitting there. Like, I'm really tired. What do I know about? I say, it's not working. My wife says, keep doing it. And then suddenly, bleh. It's great. Now I've got an offering. And she had a problem. It was probably some of the stuff, I don't know what's causing the problem, but she had a problem for the first 3 months with that, like colic. So I'm over there. I thought I wasn't made for this. Yes, it was a husband. Yeah. But I had to. I had to relieve my wife. Yeah, get it. I mean, she was, you know. That's probably the only reason we had three children. I actually wanted more, but I don't want to wear my wife out, you know. But honey, we probably should have had another six or so. So, I mean, I just read about Abram and Sarah, and I'm teasing. I just teased. She looked at me. She just tilted her head and looked at me. How many are glad that the Lord gives you time to prepare? Who's believing God for something big? It will come at the appointed time. But change the way you carry yourself. Stop walking around with a long face and your head down and mumbling and griping and moaning. Because it was... Because for some of you, we feel like a... And then we get vomited on. But let me tell you, you're going to do everything that God's called you to do. You're going to accomplish everything that heaven has planned for your life. And you come here to this church and you members here at the river, I'm your pastor. I'm going to make sure that every one of you stand before him on that day, you make it to heaven, and you hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Can you say amen? And then let me close out with this. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, shall he not bring it to pass? The prophet said, behold, I've received a commandment to bless, and he is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Let me tell you, there's no one that can curse you when God has blessed you. No one. I don't care what they practice. They can be practicing juju. They can get little dolls and push pins in them. They'll be sticking it into themselves. No one can curse what God has blessed. There is a blessing upon you as the children of the Lord, and his blessing shall carry you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. And you will see his hand, and you will see deliverance, and you will see it strong. And everywhere you go, there might be storms that come. There might be winds of adversity that blow. There might be persecution. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers you out of them all. And you will come out strong, stronger than before. And you will give him all the glory, and you'll give him all the praise, and you'll give him all the honor. Today he delivers you. Today he delivers you from the oppression of the enemy. Today he delivers you from lack and poverty. Today he delivers you from that sickness and disease that has plagued your body, that spirit of infirmity. Today, for these reasons, this is the appointed time for what I'm talking about right now. For the other things, it'll take a while. Amen. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of deliverance. Now is the time for your miracle. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the anointing so strong here right now. I want everybody just to bow your heads right where you are. We're going to pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came on this field today or you're watching by way of television, you've never ever given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Lord, come be my Savior. You've never repented of your sin. I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell because 2,000 years ago, on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all the guilty stains. Today the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be broken off of your life, and you'll leave this place changed. I want you to know He loves you and He calls you. He stands with arms right open. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come. He calls you. Will you surrender to Him today? You might never have another opportunity. Today, this might be the final moment, the final call. I want you to know how much He loves you. He loves you. Will you surrender to Him? Maybe you're on the field, you're watching in your homes. You did give your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost the peace, the joy. There was a time when you were on fire for God. You were radical. You were like some of the testimonies we heard here today. But something happened. You lost your first love. You lost your joy, the peace. You gave up. What God promised you, you didn't see it and you thought He left you, but He didn't. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Will you surrender to Him? Will you humble yourself and surrender yourself to Him? He loves you. Maybe something that's hidden in the heart. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust. Things that are just lurking there, but you've never dealt with it. But today you want to deal with it. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everybody can see, and other people, and the devil use it against you, because people are always going to run around and tell everybody your faults. People are always ready to spread the bad news about somebody. But I want you to know there's a God who gives a second chance. Otherwise, Moses would have been done. Otherwise, many throughout the years would have been done. Even David would have been done. Even Samson would have been done. But the Lord's calling you today. Will you come back? Will you come back? Will you fall in love with Jesus again? Will you put Him first place in your life? There's nothing on the earth that's worth you losing your home in heaven. Not fame, not fortune, not your name in lights. Surrender today. Maybe a storm came against your life. You were going along, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened, rocked your world. It like knocked the wind out of you. Acts 3:19 in the Amplified says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord. Today, He will revive you. Today, He will renew you. Today, you will mark this day, the first Sunday of the month of September, on day 94 of the stand, of the main event of the River Tampa Bay Church. You'll mark it as the day when fresh breath came to your life. And then lastly, if you're on the field or you're watching, you gave your heart to the Lord, but the problem that you're dealing with is you don't have the assurance. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you want to make sure, today you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. You want that doubt to go. If this is you, remember, when God looks at people, God doesn't look at nationality. God doesn't favor this group over that group. That's all lies. God is no respecter of persons. God looks at people's hearts, and your heart's either hot, lukewarm, or cold. He said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you to either be hot or cold. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. This is the time to be hot, on fire for God. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you fit into these categories and you want me to pray with you, I would love to pray with you right where you are. Quickly, put your hand up right now. Say, pray for me. All across the field and in people's homes, put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now. Say, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I can't see under the umbrella, so I'm just doing this in faith. Put your hand up high. Put your hand up high. In your homes, put your hand up high. I want every person with your hand in the air to stand, please. Stand to your feet, every person with your hand in the air. I'm gonna pray with you for you. I want you to come from where you are and come stand right there in the front. Come. Ushers, if you help them, come. To follow Jesus. I have decided. Come now. Come now. He's calling you. He's calling you. Come. 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 Come, 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 come. No turning back. The world behind me. Hey, bro, right in the front. Come on. The cross before me. The cross before me. We'll wait. Come, 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 come. People don't realize it's 440 foot from this back wall to the back wall of the fence there. So it's a long way. It's 2 acres. We'll wait, we'll wait, we'll wait. You know, I'm so blessed today. The Lord gave me a word for this family, and I went over and prayed for them, and here they are. Big things, big things. I'm telling you, big things. Where are you from? Huh? Deerfield Beach. Okay. Get ready, man. Big, 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 big things. Yeah. Praise God. I mean, that's to me, that's awesome. But Lord, I saw them there and she was weeping and the Lord said, go tell them. And here they are with the kids. The little girl standing on her dad's feet because the grass is so hot. I'm so sorry. I should bring a hose pipe here to cool your feet down. We're waiting. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. For you that are watching in your homes, as we pray with them, you pray with us. Bible says, Romans chapter 10, 8, 9, and 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart, in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So everyone standing here right now, I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven and pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you today. You said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I will never be the same again. I confess. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now just lift both hands to heaven. Father, let me pray over them. Father, let me. I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day, not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. Now break every bondage, every addiction, whether it be drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Medicine, medical, marijuana, whatever they call it, whatever the people have been using, artificial drugs, I break it now. Set them free and deliver them from the bondage of sin and raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them. Hallelujah. And that on that day, not one will be missing. Not one will be missing. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You the mama? You've been praying for him for a long time, haven't you? Huh? You've been praying for a long time. Today, God has answered your prayer. Today, God has answered your prayer. Today, God has answered your prayer. He's answered your prayer, Mama. He's answered your prayer.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.